This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, In Science We Trust. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's a disease that could have been mostly eliminated, but it wasn't. Sickle cell disease is an inherited blood disorder. Blood cells bend into a sickle shape, which causes blockages and starves tissue of oxygen. This illness affects people of African descent as well as Mediterranean and South Indian peoples. The American government took aim at sickle cell in the 1970s. Jad Slayman reports on how public health missed the mark.
It's March 1972. Bobby Seale is speaking in a crowded gym.
And we're not saying that the survival programs are necessarily revolutionary.
He's the co-founder of the Black Panther Party, a radical African-American civil rights organization founded in California.
But the survival programs are tools and institutions by which we unify our people around.
A banner reads, Sickle Cell Anemia Testing, Black Community Survival Conference. A blood test shows if you have the sickle cell trait or not. Trait carriers usually don't have any symptoms, but if two people who have the trait have children, their kids may develop sickle cell disease, which can be fatal. The Black Panthers had been calling attention to sickle cell for years, and it looked like the government had finally started to listen. Congress had approved a five-fold increase in sickle cell research funding. President Nixon made fighting the disease a priority.
America has long been the wealthiest nation in the world. Now it is time we became the healthiest nation in the world.
Sickle cell testing had been possible for decades. Now there was funding as well as a mandate from the leader of the free world. We were going to stop sickle cell in America once and for all. Only we didn't. This is a young girl in her bed, tears streaming. She's in sickle cell crisis, with pain too intense to handle at home.
This pain is very real. My body is on fire.
This is a scene from an amateur documentary shot a few years ago. It's called The Incomplete Cell, and it was made by a father-son team, Robert and Nazir Alston.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, hi Jack, come on in.
I met up with them at their home. Robert is a sickle cell carrier. His son has sickle cell disease. I wanted to know what it's like to live with sickle cell. The first thing you got to know, it hurts. A lot.
Sickle cell pain is kind of like tiny micro razor blades. It's like going at your body. It's like, imagine like razor blades on sandpaper just going back and forth inside your body.
Sickle cell crises occur when sickle-shaped blood cells clump up and block blood flow. They were putting Nazir in the hospital up to 20 times a year, and Robert, his dad, had to watch helplessly.
I wouldn't wish this disease on my worst enemy, because it's so hard as a parent to watch your child struggle with this pain that there is no cure for, and you can't do anything about it. You know, that's very painful. You just have to sit there and just wait till the pain levels go from a 10 to a 2 or 3.
Robert hadn't heard of sickle cell trait until Nazir was born with sickle cell disease in 1998. He wishes he had.
At least it would have opened up a dialogue. You know, when you start dating and say, look, you know, I live with the trait. I was just wondering, you know, do you have the sickle cell trait? You know, because if that person does have the trait, I mean, knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. You just know your carrier status, so does your partner, and the two of you have a talk. It sounds reasonable.
I think, of course, that something ought to be done about this disease, sickle cell anemia.
That's Linus Pauling, a famous chemist, speaking in 1970.
Here you have 1,500 children born a year with this disease and doomed to a pretty poor life.
He's the only person in history to win two unshared Nobel Prizes. His peers thought he probably deserved a third Nobel for his work on sickle cell. He and his team discovered a difference in the chemical structure of sickle cell patients' hemoglobin, essentially what makes sickle cell patients' blood cells form into sickle shapes instead of healthy circles. That was in 1949. In the 50s, he was basically just recommending physicians and parents discuss the disease. But by the 70s, Linus was more extreme, talking essentially eugenics.
We suggest that every young person have his genotype tattooed on his forehead, so that young people would recognize at first sight that they were incompatible in this way.
Yeah, that's laughter. This was also a time when young person, in that context, means young black person. President Nixon's press release actually described sickle cell as a disease that, quote, strikes only blacks and no one else. That's not true, by the way.
Because if they marry one another, a quarter of their children will inherit these two genes and will grossly defect it, suffer and die.
Newer drugs mean today's sickle cell patients live longer, healthier lives. But back then, it's true, many people were dying quite young. And Linus's biographers tell me he probably didn't actually want carriers to get tattoos. He was joking. But he and other scientists of his era did push for mandatory screening programs. That is, actual laws forcing African Americans to get tested.
And we said, this chance, 25% chance of giving birth to a defective child, is too large to allow a combination of ignorance and free enterprise in love to take care of the matter.
He didn't want to leave it to chance, or maybe to choice. Either way, in the 70s, 12 states and D.C. actually passed the sort of laws he had been talking about. The mandates targeted black people by, for instance, only affecting urban areas. It's not clear if Linus or any other scientist's lecture actually swayed lawmakers, but these sort of talks came during a time when people actually listened to scientists. World War II had made them into authorities, saviors even.
The scientists were seen as having made the bomb that stopped the war. And there are also, though, a lot of other things that happened during World War II that made science and medicine seem to have all the solutions to all the problems.
That's Melinda Gromley. She's a medical historian that pieced together a narrative of Linus's work.
People kept thinking, I mean, you see in the 60s and other times, people think that the cure to cancer is right around the corner, that a lot of things are going to be solved pretty quickly.
But Melinda explained that what really got Linus on stage was atomic weapons. Most people didn't understand them, but Linus did.
And so he almost immediately, after the bombs were used, started giving talks about how the bombs function.
He spoke at banquet halls, theaters, local chapters of the Elks Club would invite him. He spoke so widely because of deep convictions against nuclear weapons. His second Nobel was the Peace Prize for his work on disarmament. Alongside his nuclear talks, sickle cell would come up as well. For him, both boiled down to human suffering.
There's a lot of human suffering in the individual who has sickle cell anemia, but also the parents who watch their child have a disease and suffer from one of these molecular diseases and then possibly even die from it. So for him, a lot of times it's about the human suffering and how do you decrease the amount of human suffering.
Mandatory screening was applied on a mass scale, but to Linus, it was about individuals in pain, sickle cell patients, their parents. But it all went wrong. I reached out to a physician who specializes in sickle cell, Patricia Cavanaugh, and she says, for one, there was a lot of misinformation.
So imagine you're a mom, your child was screened in school, because that's where one of the places were that they were screening, comes home, has sickle cell trait, she goes to her doctor, her child's doctor, and the doctor says, your child won't live to see her 20th birthday.
Again, that's not true. She's saying people who were sickle cell carriers, who don't actually have symptoms, were often misdiagnosed as having sickle cell disease. Sickle cell is rare. Most people, even a lot of doctors, didn't understand it. And remember Nixon saying sickle cell, quote, strikes blacks and no one else? Coming up with regulations related to people with sickle cell became a sneaky way to actually target African Americans.
There was discrimination in employment, so people were losing their jobs or not being hired because people were afraid that they would hire them and then they would get sick. It ended up backfiring, and it was devastating for many.
So a program intended to help the black community ended up doing the opposite, and there was a complete loss of trust. What was left was fear of doctors, of the government, of science, and there was a gap, 10 to 15 years, without any kind of mass testing. Robert, the father who made the sickle cell film with his son, was born during these gap years, which may be part of the reason he didn't know he was a sickle cell carrier. We have universal newborn screening today, but most trait carriers still don't know they're carriers. Patricia and her colleagues call sickle cell screening a neglected opportunity. She explains why using the example of Tay-Sachs disease. It's also an inherited disease, and it also affects a minority group, Jews. That screening effort was led by a rabbi from the community level, the exact opposite of the government mandating testing for sickle cell.
Again, when you look at Tay-Sachs disease, you know, there's a 90% reduction in the United States and Canada since the early 70s to today. Sickle cell disease has not changed.
So all that money, all those laws, they didn't move the needle at all. The disease continued through the generations. Today, about 100,000 Americans live with sickle cell disease. You can find the Alston's documentary on YouTube. They made it to get the word out about this disease. It's more home movie than home box office. A father and son with a camera learning as they go. But their effort is in line with what Patricia says was missing in the 70s. Education and community involvement. She says those two elements could have changed the story of sickle cell.
I'm not filming this to make anybody, like, feel bad for me. It's for a YouTube video so that I could show awareness for other people who have sickle cell like me.
For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.